This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different topics around the Umpqua Valley. September Recovery Month, and we wanted to talk about that. Paul Robertson in Substance Use Disorder Residential Program Director at Crossroads with ADAPT here in Roseburg. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So kind of explain what your role is with ADAPT and Crossroads.
Yeah, Crossroads, I'm the program director for the adult residential program. Embedded in Crossroads, we also have a detox program. It's a separate program with a separate program director, but we work really closely together.
And how long have you been doing that?
So I've been at Crossroads for a little over 2 years. I've been with ADAPT for 14 years now.
So what have you been seeing when it comes to fentanyl and methamphetamine and this overdose epidemic that's really grown?
Yeah, it's been devastating. I would say that the opioid epidemic really has been in full swing since the early 2000s, and then in around 2019, when fentanyl came on the scene, it made the overdose rate sky high. Right, we haven't ever seen numbers like that before. And the other thing that we started to see around 2019 was we started to see a lot of polydrug use with fentanyl and methamphetamine, which is something you didn't see much of before. You had people that used opioids, and then you had people that used stimulants. And around the time of fentanyl, we started to see people using both in numbers that we just hadn't seen before. For example, when we see people at Crossroads who admit to treatment, almost always, if they're positive for one of those substances, they're positive for both of those substances.
Any idea why that is?
It's hard to say. It was a trend that started before fentanyl, and it just kicked into gear. I think the housing crisis is part of it. You have more people experiencing housing insecurity, so you have more people kind of living together in unstable situations, and all of those drugs are available to all of them. And so I think that's part of it. And then you also, started to see fentanyl in the methamphetamine, and that's not something that we had seen before either. So you had people that were using methamphetamine, not intending to use fentanyl, that were, because they didn't know it was in there.
Wow. And it seems like there have been a lot of situations where people, maybe not regular users, but people in a recreational setting think they're taking, a Xanax or, maybe one of a number of different things, and just somebody doesn't tell them what they're taking and they take it anyway.
It's one reason why the overdose rate is what it is. You have cartels making fentanyl pills that look like you said, Xanax pills or well-known pain pills. And people are buying them as such and not realizing that it's fentanyl. That's just one example that has resulted in countless overdose deaths.
And as we heard today, one of our stories with Oregon State Police a couple of days ago here around the Roseburg area, finding 100,000 pills laced with fentanyl that represent 450,000 doses just in somebody's one vehicle. And that's really daunting.
It's an insane amount. And we see seizures like that all over the West Coast. You got to remember, fentanyl is 50 times more potent than heroin. And so you're talking about an incredibly dangerous substance. It's cheaper than heroin was. It's more readily available, and it's more deadly.
And a number of years ago, I was at a presentation, I think out of the college, and at that point, fentanyl wasn't even in the mix of what was out there. But it just talked about the impression it put on someone. And, when you say 50 times more and you think about one substance being really bad, really detrimental, times 50.
It's hard to wrap your head around. These drugs are not made consistently. So you have batches of fentanyl that come over the border, pressed into pills or in powder form, and they're mixed with other substances, but it's not consistent. So you'll buy something from somebody, you'll buy fentanyl or you'll buy pills from somebody, and then the next week you buy them again and the dosage is completely different. And when you're dealing with something that's that potent, a little change, a little more potent, is going to often result in an overdose.
So you may be anticipating, hoping for one effect, and the effect you get is very bad.
Very bad, yeah.
Now, did the pandemic contribute to an increase in substance use disorder?
Yeah, I think it did. The COVID-19 pandemic has had a devastating impact on substance use and mental health issues across the country and in our community as well. Again, I think the timelines are important here, right? So from the early 2000s, you have this opioid pandemic that's sort of growing in intensity, started with pills and then heroin kind of exploded. And then again, right around 2018, 2019, right before the pandemic, you have fentanyl coming in huge numbers. So then the pandemic hits and you have a kind of a confluence of factors that are going to negatively impact this population. One being, increased isolation, economic depression across the board, feelings of anxiety and depression and other mental health issues at levels we hadn't really seen before, all exaggerated by the pandemic. And then also a reduction in the access to life-saving, healthcare that people need. There was a big shift towards, telehealth and things like that. You got to remember, a lot of people that are struggling with substance use and mental health issues don't have a reliable way to engage with those kinds of technologies and healthcare in a setting like that. It was devastating.
When you talk about substance use disorder, how do mental health issues kind of piggyback off of that?
Yeah, we've known for a long time that mental health issues and substance use issues go kind of hand in hand. And it used to be that the idea was you would treat them kind of separately, right? You had mental health professionals that didn't really want to diagnose and work with people for their mental health needs if they were, struggling with substance use, and vice versa. That's changed, and the approach now is to treat both concurrently, and we do that, and it's much more effective that way. And it's also because it goes hand in hand, it's just something you kind of have to do, right? With mental health issues, you have people that are sort of self-medicating, trying to survive with what's available to them, and what's available to them might be drugs like methamphetamine and fentanyl. And if you can get them connected to the services they need, to the medications that they do need, then it makes a huge difference. And then you can also treat their substance use at the same time.
Now, how did you get into this whole field? What led to your interest?
Yeah, I have a personal history with drugs, and it started in the early 2000s. And when I got myself together, I decided that what I wanted to do was to help people struggling with drug addiction. And I'm from Roseburg, so I made my way back here after a little while and decided I wanted to work with ADAPT, and that's where I've been ever since.
And what did you have to do in terms of education?
So I went to school in Southern Oregon. I got my bachelor's degree. I went through a human services program down there, and then I actually started out as an intern to be a counselor with ADAPT in Grants Pass about 14 years ago.
And I have been told over the years with a lot of folks I've done interviews with that some of the best people to help those suffering are ones that have gone through it themselves. How has that been your experience?
I think it can be the experience for a lot of people. I always say that best counselor I ever had was not an addict, and some of the best counselors I've ever worked with are also not addicts. I think it's true that you also have to acknowledge that pretty much everybody whether they work in this field or not, have experience working with somebody who struggles with addiction. And so may not have, you know, that personal lived experience, but they know about it, they've seen it, and they've been involved with it. They've lived in a community that struggles with it. So I understand that point. We see that a lot, and you will always have a lot of people in this field who are in recovery, and a lot of times they make excellent counselors and excellent support staff and the client and peers. You know, to be a peer support staff member, you know, you have to be in recovery, and the reasons are because that lived experience allows for a really easy connection with people who are trying to achieve recovery.
Paul Robertson is a substance use disorder residential director, program director for Crossroads. We're going to continue when we get back to interview a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. Umpqua Valley Live, looking at arts, entertainment, and community events this afternoon at 4. On Monday's program, it is State Representative Virgil Osborne. A couple of programs back-to-back to look back at this week with legislative days going on. The Oregon State Legislature, Court Boyce, will join us on Tuesday. Paul Robertson, Substance Use Disorder Residential Program Director from Crossroads in Roseburg. It's Recovery Month. That's been a designation that's been around for a long time. And are there particular things that happen tied to Recovery Month? Now, actually, at the front end, now that I've sort of answered my own question in my head, you had an event at the earlier in the month.
Yeah, so Recovery Month has always been a time to really celebrate the gains that people make in recovery. And the work that they put into it, and then also acknowledging the addiction professionals, the countless addiction professionals that dedicate their lives to helping folks struggling with addiction.
And let's see, talk about high functioning professionals that are dealing with addiction. I think it's easy to look at police reports or sort of make overall judgments, but I have been told over the years that there's a lot of folks that are really struggling with addiction, and that could be on a lot of different, it could be pills, it could be alcohol, it could be other things, but yet they are so highly functioning, it's really hidden from just about everybody around them.
Yeah, it's addiction doesn't discriminate, you know, based on class or job or anything like that. I think the symptoms can be a little bit different, and maybe the visibility of those symptoms is different depending on you know where somebody comes from and sort of what their situation is. It's true too that people who are more upper middle class or affluent or professionals, they have more stability in their lives kind of to begin with, right? And I think that makes a difference. They generally will have more in terms of healthy relationships, stable housing, their health also might be better, right? People that are working, that have more money are also generally in better health and receive better health care or more regular health care. But they are also still affected by substance use as well. Sometimes it's hidden from their families, from their friends. Certainly sometimes it can be hidden from their employer. Most of the time, those functioning addicts, they run out of time, right? And eventually the consequences bubble up and they're forced to, you know, kind of have a reckoning, make a decision. Do they want to get help? Will they accept an intervention of sorts? And very few functioning addicts really sustain that balance forever.
Is it kind of a gradual slide the wrong way?
Yeah, I think it depends, certainly on the person and even the drugs that they're using. Alcohol, for example, it's always been more you know, kind of accepted and acceptable, and some people just tend to drink a little bit more. It's one of those things I think that's also easier for some folks to hide in some ways. But again, if somebody is drinking to excess for a long period of time, it is almost always going to impact the rest of their life, their employment, and their relationships. And it's like that for any drugs that somebody is using.
I would think some people would look at the idea of recovery and feel like once you're dealing with substance use disorder, you're kind of there and don't feel like recovery is ever possible. What would you say to that?
Yeah, it is, when you're in the middle of it, it is daunting for sure, especially if you've got a physical dependency at play too, that you can't just stop, right? You have people that are drinking so much that if they stop, they'll have seizures, and that can end up with real life and death problems. And so, yeah, for folks like that, the idea of recovery seems out of reach. One way that it's easier for them to grasp the idea of recovery is to make sure that folks like that know what services are available in the community, right? That there are places like a detox unit who somebody can walk into, and they can receive medication and care and get through that period that they can't get through on their own, and then come out the other side and get connected with an outpatient program and maybe mental health treatment if that's what they need, or family counseling if that's what they need. And then it starts to seem more possible. There's recovery meetings that people can get engaged with. There's new ways to find purpose and meaning in life that, again, once you start that journey, it all sort of starts to kind of make sense. And if they wrap themselves around the support that's available, it's definitely possible.
That probably kind of ties into a term I've heard from folks in recovery for a long time about kind of it's one day at a time.
Yeah, it can be. I think that's a perspective that a lot of people, hold on to kind of just get through those really tough times, right? Those tough moments, those tough days where it seems like I can't do this. And for an addict who feels that way, who feels overwhelmed in that way, usually they're going to think about wanting to use because that's what's worked in the past and that's what sounds good in that moment. So at that point, then the goal just becomes to not use. I just got to get through this moment. I got to get through this 10 minutes, or I got to get through this day. And I think that's where that phrase one day at a time comes in. If you make it through this particularly hard day, tomorrow will likely be better.
What about friends and family of someone who's dealing with substance use disorder? How do they jump in and kind of help try to guide the person to seeking assistance?
Yeah, it can be really tricky, and every family dynamic is going to be different. I think going back to kind of what I said about making sure that the person who's struggling and the family who cares about them knows what services and supports are available is key. There are people that have experienced, drug treatment or detox, for example, in a setting that was really traumatic, right? Maybe it was in a lockdown facility years ago in another state or something. And so their idea of what detoxing off alcohol is not what the reality of it is right here. If they were to go to detox, for example, with ADAPT or in Eugene or somewhere, it would be very different. So helping to educate a person like that, I think, is the first step to make them understand that this is a different, it'll be a different situation than what they think it will be. And then to make sure that they understand that they've got support, they've got family support and love around them. And again, the services are available for long-term recovery.
And talk about, for some people, it's kind of two steps forward, one step back kind of thing.
Yeah, in terms of like the struggle just never really ends.
Well, or you're making progress and then you're not.
Yeah.
Or you know, if it's alcohol, you've been sober for quite a while, but then you're not one day.
Yeah, I think it is a lifelong struggle for somebody in recovery. And I think some people have an easier time maybe coping with it than others. Other people kind of hold on to that one day at a time approach. And they there's another term that we use, kind of white knuckling it. Some people do more of that than others. But yeah, there's going to be missteps, and people will slip and relapse and fall down, and but then they can pick themselves back up again, get started again, get back in treatment. We see people that re-enter treatment who have fallen off. It happens all the time, and then family and loved ones around them offer their support to get through those times, those times when they fall down.
If somebody's hearing this and wants to begin that process, what do you suggest they do?
Yeah, the first thing I would suggest they do is to understand what professional help and supports are available in the community or the region that they live in. I think if a family member is wanting to talk with somebody about getting clean and sober, getting some help, I think that's the first thing to do, is to make sure you're educated on what's available, and then to help that person understand that this is something you will support them in doing, and that they don't have to do it alone, and also that there's no one right way to do it. There's a lot of different ways to achieve recovery.
All right, Paul Robertson, the Substance Use Residential Program Director for Crossroads with ADAPT on Recovery Month. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.